I'll keep these on. This is funny. This actually ties in here. The older I get, the less I find I can do. I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm still a strapping young lad. I know that many of you are going, geez, just wait till you get to be 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. But, man, my body just doesn't work the way it used to. And, by the way, if you're under 30, I'll post something on Facebook later. These empathy training systems that they do where they set you up so that you feel like you are 80 years old. They'll put like glasses on that limit your view and bind your legs and knees so that you can't bend the way you did. It's a really fascinating read to get a sense of what it's like to lose the mobility and the ease that we take for granted as young people as you get older. It's a really eye-opening read that helped me to understand a lot what it is like to age. And the reality is our bodies change as they age. And it's not just aging that changes us, right? We've talked all about cancers and diseases that rack our bodies and take a toll in many ways. You can testify, many of you, to the way that pain changes your experience of life. In many ways, our bodies are limited, which makes Easter really good news. The fact of Jesus' resurrection means that we will not always be limited by these fleshly bodies. When we believe in a risen Savior, we will rise in glorified bodies. That's the idea I want to unpack with you this morning. When we believe in a risen Savior, we are going to rise in glorified bodies. To show you what I mean, I want to take you to the Easter story in Luke 24. We're going to look specifically at Luke 24, verses 36 and onwards. So go ahead, you can turn to Luke 24, verse 36. As you are going there in your Bibles, Luke 24, last chapter of Luke, let me just set the stage. You've already heard some from Ben and Anna this morning. So on Good Friday, of course, the authorities crucified Jesus, and his disciples watched as they laid him into a tomb. They knew what tomb it was, and then early on Sunday morning, they went back to that tomb to anoint Jesus' body the way that funeral traditions would dictate. And they discovered that not only was the stone that was blocking the entrance gone, there were these angelic messengers sitting there saying, "Why do you look for the dead among the, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And so the disciples, the women really ran off to share the good news with the rest of the disciples. Meanwhile, a couple of other disciples were on their way out of town. They were heading on the Emmaus Road when this mysterious stranger appeared next to them and started them leading through what was really the most impressive Bible study in all of history. This was actually Jesus who was leading them through all that had just happened to him and saying, well, this is how that fulfills the Old Testament. He says, the Old Testament anticipated all of this. And when they finally got it and realized, this is Jesus risen, he disappeared. And they turned around and headed straight back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples there that Jesus was alive. That brings us to Luke 24, 36. While the disciples were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. Just an aside, I never clued into this. What was the very first thing that the angel said to Mary when he appeared to say, you're pregnant with Jesus? Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. It's a neat bookend. Jesus says, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they had seen a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is truly me. touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, and you see that I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything to eat here?" He hadn't eaten in 3 days. He gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it in their presence. This passage of Scripture is straight up meant to tell us that Jesus is indeed risen. He was dead, and then he was alive again. I mean, Luke wrote this whole gospel and these words in particular so that a guy named Theophilus would, quote, know that what he believed was true. That's Luke 1, 3, and 4. And that's why Jesus appears here, so that they will know that what they have believed in is true. He says, verse 39, look, it's me. It is not a ghost. It is not an apparition appearing to all of you at once. See here, look, touch the wounds in my hands and in my feet that match the ones that I got on Good Friday on the cross. See for yourself that I truly am alive. This is Jesus showing us that he has truly died and then risen again. That's what Easter's all about, isn't it? Oftentimes we'll stop there. We'll focus our attention on Jesus' resurrection, and that makes a lot of sense. What I want to do this morning is take it the next step further and consider the implications of Jesus' resurrection. Namely, that since he died and rose again, we have confidence that we will too. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will rise also like us. That means that if we die, and we all will, unless Jesus comes first, we will rise again in glorified bodies. Easter is primarily about Jesus' resurrection, but it is also about the promise of ours. And if you look closely at this account, I think you actually see some hints at what our resurrected bodies are going to be like. Look at verse 39, verse 43, around there. These verses tell us that our resurrected bodies will be real, tangible, physical bodies, not unlike the ones that we have. I mean, first off, they recognize that it's him. Right? They're dumbfounded with joy and amazement to think, wait, we saw you in a tomb. How is it that you're here? They know it's him. Second, Jesus does things to show them, it is truly me. I have a material existence here. You can touch me and see that there's flesh and bones here. He takes and actually eats some fish. Our resurrected bodies, our eternal existence is not floating around on clouds like ethereal spirits. In eternity, we will have real physical bodies that are in some way connected to the ones that we have now. We will recognize our loved ones. The things that we love about our bodies now probably will be there in eternity. We will rise again into these real, tangible bodies. But those real, tangible, resurrected bodies will not be limited in the way that our physical ones are now. Right? Verse 36, the disciples were standing around in a room talking together when all of a sudden Jesus just appeared. You know, the two were on their way to Emmaus and he was just gone. This seems to say that our bodies will not be limited the way that our current ones are now. I've given you a whole list of verses there that you can go and look at afterwards in the handout. 2 Corinthians 5 is one of them. Paul makes the point there that these bodies are like tents compared to the eternal mansions that we are going to live in. They will not be limited the way that our physical bodies are now. Want to see the top of Mount Everest? You'll probably be able to run there. Want to tend your garden without getting tired? That's just how resurrected bodies work. Want to go water skiing in your 80s? For that, you should talk to Bob Robinson. But look, our resurrected bodies will be real, tangible bodies, just like we have now, but glorified ones, unhindered by the limits that we currently experience. And it's all because Jesus rose again. Because Jesus died to restore us to God and then rose again to defeat death, we have confidence that we too shall rise when we believe in him. Right? Sin separates us from God. When we ignore him and go our own way, we're walking away from the only true source of life there is in the world. We are accumulating an enormous debt against him with eternal consequences. And in the meantime, our bodies break down as a consequence of living in a fallen world where cancer and diseases and coronaviruses exist. But God is so rich in mercy that he chose to rescue us from sin, to send his son to pay the price for it and bring us back to him. Jesus died, and then the Father brought him back to life again to show that death doesn't have the final word on us. That's why Jesus pointed to the Old Testament in verse 46 of the text there. Jesus goes back to the Old Testament and he says, look, this is what was written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and then repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached through all the nations, starting in Jerusalem. Jesus suffered and died for our sin. He rose from the dead on the third day. That's Easter. When we turn from sin, that's the repentance part, and live trusting Jesus, that's faith, we take hold of all that Jesus has secured for us. Our sin is forgiven. We are drawn back into relationship with God, and we have the utmost confidence that we are going to dwell in glorified bodies with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us also with Jesus, and we will dwell together with him in his presence. I couldn't help but notice in the last song that we played, the line, made like him we rise. Like him, we too shall rise. When you believe in a glorified Savior, you are going to rise in a glorified body. When you trust in him, you will rise like he did. Let's think about what this means for us. When you believe in the risen Savior, you will rise just as he did. The obvious place to start is, well, do you believe in that risen Savior? Jesus laid down his life for you. He bore my sin on the cross and your sin on the cross so that we would be forgiven and renewed. You know, he rose because he died in the first place for me. What are you doing? What are you doing with that gift of grace? Put your faith in the risen Savior. Pour your heart out to him. Acknowledge where you have strayed, and he will wipe the slate clean and give you eternal life. Believe in the risen Savior, because when you do, you are going to rise in a glorified body. None of this floating around like angels eating cream cheese. We are going to live in bodies that make Olympic athletes look like chumps. No offense to Olympic athletes. You may be struggling. You may be suffering right now. But your eternal existence will be in a tangible body that has no limits. You know, maybe now it's hard to raise your arms. Maybe you get tired walking up your stairs. Maybe you're like me and I'm not even nervous. When you trust in Jesus, he will help you to persevere through this life. and he promises to bring you into the next. He is the living hope, 1 Peter says, that we build our lives on. When you trust in the risen Savior, you will rise into a glorified body. Let that give you encouragement to press on in what your life is like now. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, this is how it's going to be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown, it's going to be raised imperishable. It may be sown in dishonor, but it's going to rise in glory. It is sown in weakness, it will rise in power. It is sown a natural body, it has raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, then there is going to be a spiritual body. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, Adam, this stuff, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. When you believe in a risen Savior, you will rise in a glorified body. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this promise. We thank you, first of all, for your death and resurrection that made it possible in the first place. I mentioned Titus earlier, Titus 3, says, you know, we were dead in our sins. We were doing our own thing. We had no interest in you. And yet it is not because of anything that we have done that you have called us good. You look at your son suffering on the cross, dying in our place as our substitute. And when we claim him as our own, when we confess the secrets, the garbage in our past that you already know, when we confess it and lay it all at your feet, you say, you are forgiven. Welcome into the fraternity, the community, the family of all those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Lord, thank you for opening my eyes to that. For years, I heard the Easter story and I said, nice story. But then you spoke into my heart and made me realize that's more than a story. This pulls me up into your eternal work of redemption. I was a sinner. Before I wanted anything to do with you, you died for me. And then you freely gave me the benefit of full abundant life now and the promise of eternal life for all of eternity. And not just like scraping by in eternity, but you are going to resurrect me in a body that's not going to get tired, worn out, not get sick, not stub my toe, not get into accidents, not get cancer, coronavirus. Jesus, we thank you for the promise of bodies that will be like Lamborghinis compared to the tricycles that we're driving around in now. God, I pray for people now who are suffering from pain, who struggle with the limits that their bodies put upon them. Lord, help them to persevere. Help them to live in faith, live by faith in the Son of God, who loved them and died for them. And may you give them strength to get through. And may the promise of eternal life draw us all on in faithful living. For you are good, and your steadfast love will never fail. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.